Thank God. Well, we've been in a series we call Doers of the Word, what we were just praying about. I believe this is the fifth message. Go ahead and turn over to James 1:22. James 1:22. We'll read our text there. It's also on your sheet, of course. James 1:22. Everybody there? Nobody's there? Anybody there? James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. We can't recap everything that we've taught up to this point. And I encourage you to go back on the website, listen to those messages, because it will help you. We're kind of going line upon line, building on what we've said. But we talked about hearing. Hearing's important. Faith comes by hearing. You need to hear the word in order for faith to come. But hearing isn't the only thing. If you just hear and you don't act on the word, you will not be blessed like you ought to, like the word promises. You can't just hear and say, well, I've heard that, therefore everything that the word says ought to happen to me. That won't occur. And in fact, it says, if we look at the voice, paraphrase there on your sheet, verse 22, James 1:22, it says, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. And we spent some time on that. Hearing, you know, people just in this day and age are going from place to place, site to site, message to message, and just listening to all kinds of stuff. And hearing is good, but you can overdo it. You can't overdo listening to faith. You can't overdo hearing the word of God. But what you can do is just hear all kinds of disparate things and teachings that you can't process them. You see, there's a difference. You can focus on something and get it into you, but when you hear one thing over here and one thing over here, and you just think it's just the amount that you hear, and you hear it from 16 different sources, that's not necessarily a good thing. Now, if that's news to you, if that seems odd to you, then go back and listen to the messages, because I don't have time to go through all those again. But more is not necessarily better if it's in the wrong vein. Like, again, you want to hear and hear, but you don't want to just hear everything. How many of you know you want to be discerning? Amen.
Amen.
In other words, you would rather hear something, actually get it through to where it affects your life, than hear 15 things and do none of them.
That's right.
That's what a lot of people are doing. They're just trying to get everything. I want more and more, but they're not really, nothing's processing. It's what we do. So we talked about that, and we've talked about, it's important, so hearing's important, but then you have to do something with it. But then it's also important when you do hear what you are hearing. It's the word and doing the word that's going to be a blessing. In other words, some people, they say, I'm a doer. I'm going to do. But what are you doing? Because how many of you know there are people on the earth, they wholeheartedly believe certain things, and they're doers of them. And they're flat wrong.
That's right.
They're not. How are you going to know if you're wrong or right? You're going to base it on the Word of God. Not a certain church, not a certain man, not a certain woman, not a set of CDs or MP3s, not a website. It's got to come back to the Word of God. Because if you just say, well, I'm going to take this. See, people don't articulate it like this, but I'm gonna follow this person. I'm gonna do everything they say. Well, you better be sure they're basing what they're saying on the word. Because it doesn't work because so-and-so preached it. It may be working for them, but just because they preach it, you have to know that the Bible says it, that God says it. Because when you're in the middle of a storm, saying so-and-so believes this does not cut it. It does not. You have to know you believe it from the Word. And if you and there's so there's people that are taking things, they're sincere, but they're not right. Because mommy or daddy told them. Or because that's what they've heard all their lives. But if you can't find it in the Bible, we need to throw it out. You can be a doer of something that's absolutely wrong. And just because you heard it in church does not mean you'll be blessed. Did I lose somebody? In other words, it's only the doing of the Word. The Word's going to work. But doing of religion, doing of tradition, God has no obligation to uphold that. Yeah, but I was sincere. I was doing what I heard to do. That doesn't cut it. What does the Word say? Because what James is saying here, it's the doers of the Word that are going to be blessed, not just doers. How many of you know you can be going 90 miles per hour after something, and if you're going in the wrong direction, you're just getting somewhere you don't want to go fast. But you're going really fast. You're going hard. You're doing everything you know to do, but you're going in the wrong direction. That's not going to help. No, it's the doers of the Word. So how are we going to know? You're going to know, you're going to have to check it with the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will help you to do that. The Spirit of God will quicken you. That's why it's so important that we hook up with the local church. That's why it's so important that we come before the Word of God. Do you realize that's why, in my opinion, a major reason this nation has drifted off the way it has? People are not in church and they don't esteem the Word like they used to. Do you realize we're a Christian nation? Just so you know, Christmas, we were talking about this. Christmas is a national holiday. Just so you know, when people say you shouldn't be doing certain, it's a national holiday. We're a Christian nation.
That's right.
That's where, right?
Amen.
You don't have to apologize for saying Merry Christmas.
Yes.
It's a national holiday. Our country put that in. You go to some other countries, they don't have any problem with you, you know, celebrating certain holidays because the country is geared that way, right? Anyway, just a thought. But look at what's happened on the Sabbath. You know, you call it whatever you want. But by, you know, Sunday, Saturday technically was the Sabbath, no covenant. I mean, the real thing, we've talked about that. The real crux of the matter was God was saying, you take a day and you set it aside to me, you stop working. Why? So you're not trying to do everything in your own strength. You're looking to Him. It's see they you're dealing with spiritually dead people in the Old Covenant. Always keep that in mind when you read it. But what was God saying? And He said, "Look, it is because God rested on the seventh day." So in that sense, it's not just law. Okay, it's what God said. You take a day aside and you look to Me. You know, that takes discipline at times. You want to go 50 miles an hour, write down what you were doing before. But to step aside and go, God, I trust You, I'm going to focus on You. How much noise would that quiet if people just did that? You say, I'm so busy. So you're taking a day off and you're getting before God, right? Well, no, I'm too busy. Whose choice is that? Now, I have a series on this. We talked about this. Was it Seek First the Kingdom? In that series, it's part of a larger series, but we talked about the Sabbath and the day off. It applies today. Now, the rules and regulations, you're not going to be stoned if you pick up a stick. Thank God.
Amen.
But the concept's there, and it has not changed. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And we went through it. Tell me which other of the Ten Commandments has faded away. There's a lot of laws and regulations that we're not under. But you tell me. I'm not going to go through it right now, but tell me which other one faded away. It's not law. It's God's truth. Every one of those things is just as true today as it was then. And people have tried to sidestep. Well, we don't need that anymore. Yeah, and look at the mess that people are in. People are broken down physically. Well, they don't take a day off. They don't stop. And they've somehow spiritualized it. Well, Jesus is our rest. Well, good luck with that. If God said to do one thing and you're doing another thing. Anyway, you look at the country, though. Sunday is just another day. People don't. See, they're just used to be ingrained in the culture. People would, even if it was religion, they were still hearing the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God, it will affect you. You know, the best is to hear the anointed Word of God. You want to hear the truth, but just the Word of God was going forth so much more. And people would hear it and they'd see it. And see, it was this force. Well, that's gotten blown apart. So people have gone away from the truth of God's Word. And then you see the after effects of it. How do we get off on all that? But you don't want to just do anything. You want to be doers of the Word. So we talked about that some. Let's look at some other scriptures. Well, let's read the rest of this part. In the voice, I want to read the rest of it there. James 1:22. Put the Word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the Word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth found in God's law of liberty and live by it. If you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. If you pursue the path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. Notice that. Many distractions. Many distractions. There are many distractions in the world that want to pull you off, pull you away. How are you going to avoid that? It says, if you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded. Well, how are you going to know what God has commanded? Huh? We're going to have to be exposed to the Bible. We're going to have to be exposed to the Word of God. Well, I heard something. Well, you can only hear so much. I encourage you, lay your hands on the book. I mean, this we're looking at a sheet that these are the words. It helps you to look at it because there are certain things that we have in our head. We thought we heard it, and we've always read it a certain way. And then you see it, and you're like, wait a minute, that actually says this? And has that ever happened to anybody? You realize you've been hearing it through the interpretation. You heard something sometime. Might have been when you were 10 years old. You always thought, that verse says this. Then you look at it, and you're like, wait a minute, it actually, wow, that's different. So we need to know what the Word says, but if we'll do it, we'll avoid many distractions that lead to the amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. In our day and age, people, it's as if they have forgotten what is true and real and right. Well, if one generation stops doing certain things, doesn't pass it on to the next generation, they have to rediscover it. They have to come back to it. And so, yeah, it's like, well, we used to know things, but we don't know them anymore. because you don't see them, you don't do them. But the Word of God is what we want to, where we were last time, the Word of God is what we want to focus on. It's the Word. It's doing the Word. So let's read a few of these scriptures on your sheet there. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, we read these last time. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth. They're pure. They've been tried. Men's ideas have not. Did you hear me? You want to be the one that tries it? You get one shot through this thing. I don't want to find out when I'm done I was going down the wrong path. I mean, none of us are going to walk things perfectly, but I don't, you know, you really don't want to follow some guy's new idea and you be the guinea pig to find out if that is true or not. God's words are already tried and true. They're right. We don't have to figure out if they're right. We'll do them. They're right. They are tried. Look at Psalm 119, verse 1. Again, we read these just kind of hooking up with where we were, and we'll go a little bit further. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are those that keep what? His testimonies. His testimonies. Those who walk in the law, the statutes of the Lord. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. God's word is settled. It's true. See, if we just get to this thing, God's word's going to work whether we feel like it, whether the circumstances look like it or not. It's true. If we'll just get there and say, God, you said it, that's it. I believe it. I'm not moving. It'll bring us right through tough times. We'll see things work because his word's tried. It'll work every time. Amen. Your ideas may not. Your theory may not. But God's word will. And when we do what he said to do, it will bring blessing. We don't need to get off because we don't think, we don't see something looking like we think it should. What we have to check up on is, am I doing what God said? If we are, well, he's not going to lie. His word's already true. It's going to happen. What he said will happen. If I'm doing my kooky idea, may work, may not. Let's turn over to Luke 11. God's word, it is powerful. It is anointed. There it is truth. It is life. You read the Word of God, it will bring light. It will bring direction. Luke 11, verse 27 says, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and what? Keep it. Wasn't that the same thing James said? Who's going to be blessed? Those that hear the word. See, you need to hear the word. And then what? You keep that word. You keep what God said. The word of the Almighty. The truth of God himself. Look on your sheet there. Stay in Luke because we're gonna look at a different passage. But look at John 13, 16 on your sheet there. It says, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent, who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if what? If you do them. We're blessed if we do what God said, not just blessed, not just hearing it, not just doing anything, but we're blessed if we do what he said. Now, Luke 6, let's go over to Luke 6, just a few chapters back from where you were. Luke 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call, this is Jesus speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Now just stop right there. A side thought. What did Jesus say, verse 46, 47? But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which, who says? He said. Jesus is the Word, John says. He's the Word made flesh. But these are his words, right? They're, if you have a red-letter Bible, then these words are in red. Verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears, who? My sayings and what? Does them, I will show you whom he is like. But side thought, there are some that will say, well, the things Jesus said, you got to look at it because it's old covenant. Well, technically, before he died on the cross, yeah. But you're going to say you're not going to do what Jesus said, the Christ. So if we're a Christian, how many of you think we ought to do what the Christ said? Amen. 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 When you start saying, well, I don't know. Jesus said it, but I don't know. Well, you got to rightly divide the word. And there are certain things he's saying to Jewish people, as far, especially when you're dealing with end times. People jumble this up left and right. Now, I don't spend, I'll be honest with you, a ton of time on the end times. You know, we've looked at it, took classes on it. Remember Reverend Brian McCallum that came several years ago? He taught that class. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he taught that class at Rhema, eschatology. And he has books, you can still get them, I'm sure, about the end times in Revelation, and he breaks it down so cleanly and practically. And how many of you know when you interpret the Bible, you have to interpret the Bible with the Bible? Yes. So there's phrases in there. It's not that hard. Revelation is, it can seem hard to understand, but when you see the different phrases in there, you can see how they're used different places in the Bible and how different symbols are used. It really takes a lot of the mystery out of it. And I encourage you, if you have questions about that, Reverend Brian McCallum, I'm sure you can still get his books. They were published. I have copies of all his books. But he taught that class. But anything that brings fear when you're dealing with end times, it's not of God. There's a whole lot there we could say. We're not going to. But when you deal, the reason I got off on that is that Jesus is speaking certain things. He's talking to Jewish people in certain areas, and he's talking about the future of Israel. That's not necessarily the future of the church. And people say, well, look, this is going to happen to the church. No, he's talking specifically to the Jewish nation in certain areas. So you have to rightly divide the word of God. But to say, well, to throw away what Jesus said is just error. And people say, well, I go past that. I don't look at what he said. Well, so when Jesus, the Word made flesh, walk the earth, what he said is now not part of what we believe. See, the same people will say, basically, they'll throw out the Old Testament. This is very dangerous. You have to interpret the old in light of the new, but do not throw it out. The Bible says, in the new covenant, these things were done for our examples. And if you see truth, you'll see truth all through the Word of God. Now, we're under a new covenant. And so you'll see the way God deals with people has changed because of Jesus. But God has not changed. Amen. We got to watch. Again, we have to do what the Word teaches, not what somebody preached. Be very careful, especially when they start throwing out parts of the Bible and say it's not for us. Be very careful. Verse 48. He is like a man. So let's read 46 and 47. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Now, who are we talking about? Verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Does it sound like what we're talking about in James? You hear whose sayings? God's. Jesus is talking about here, my sayings. But we're talking about the Word of God. Jesus is God, His Word. The Word of God. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and what? Does them. So you need to hear the right sayings. Not just anything. It's not just hearing, though. You need to what? Do them. Now he says, I'll tell you what that person is like. And that's what verse 48 is. He says, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. It was well built, the margin of my Bible says. In other versions say, his house was well built. Now let's go ahead and read verse 49. We'll come back. But he who has heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, or it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, if you look at these two verses, it's the same thing happened to both of these men. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. It could not shake it when the person did it. But when the storm came and it beat vehemently against the person's house that didn't do the word, it collapsed. Which person is going to be blessed, the doer or the person that doesn't do the word? But are you going to need, so you need to know the word, right? If you go off and Jesus is saying they heard the word. They heard the word, the truth. And then he talks about one person that did it, one person that didn't. Well, if you didn't hear the truth, which category, and you went and did some other thing, which category you think you're going to end up in? If you go and don't hear the real word, even if you did that word, are you going to end up in the category of the guy that withstood the storm, or are you going to end up in the category of the guy that fell apart? It's going to fall apart because you're talking about the only the person that does the word is going to be blessed, right? So if you do something else, well, you didn't do the word. If you don't hear the word, well, you're not going to be able to do it, right? Now, if you hear the word and you just sit there and go, that's nice, and you don't do it, the storms of life are going to come to everybody. I'm going to say that again. The storms of life are going to come to everybody. You say, that's unbelief. No, it's not. It's reality. We live in a fallen world. Anybody that has the idea that somehow I believe the Word of God, I've heard the Word of God, see, people get this idea all the time. Somehow they get a hold of faith or the Word and they start thinking, I won't have any more problems. I won't have any challenges. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what, you name it, Brother Hagin did not teach that, and he would say this exact thing. He would say, people have gotten this idea. He goes, I have never said that you would not have any problems. The Word does not teach that. But I'll tell you, people get the idea that they've heard faith, and somehow they're not gonna have any challenges anymore. That's not what the Word says. The Word's exactly what we just read here in verse 48. The storm's gonna come. It's what's gonna happen through it. The Bible says we'll have victory over it in the midst of it. It did not say nothing would come. Did you hear me? Because this is a problem. You know what people do? I've seen it. People start to believe that somehow they shouldn't have any issues in life. Now, it's not from God. It's not God doing it. The Bible says Satan comes to the thief, who Satan is the thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God is not causing the problems. His word will overcome any issue, any problem. But he did not say, the Bible, you cannot find in the Bible where it says that you will not have any problems any longer now that you're a Christian or now that you believe the Word. But what people do is they somehow get this idea, I shouldn't have any challenges anymore. And you know what it happens if they believe that? One way it can come down. They believe somehow if they do have a challenge, they start blaming God for it. Did you hear me? But they'll get this misunderstanding, they're not supposed to have any problems. Now they have a problem and they're like, well, God, I thought I wasn't supposed to have any problems. Well, your belief is wrong to begin with. That's not what God, Jesus himself is saying here. Verse 48, let's read it again. He is like who? The man who hears my sayings and does them. He's like a man who built a house. He dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and when the stream beat vehemently against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, did it say, you built the house on the rock so there were no more storms in the area? Is that what it said?
No.
Oh, I wish it were true. Wouldn't that be awesome? You just find one person, then you just go live by them. Now, God, there may be a storm. Now, the Bible said, I mean, Jesus calmed the storm. He had authority over the storm, but did the storm come?
Yes.
To the Son of God?
Yes.
But did he stand up and go, wait a minute, Father, I thought there wasn't supposed to be any more storms. I am your son. What is going on? I'm quitting. I'm done. Forget this. This doesn't work. And just start swimming, you know? No, he just calmed the storm. No, we did not. The Bible doesn't say, I wish it did. It does not say that we're not going to ever have an issue. Now, you can get mad in the middle of the problem. That's not going to do you any good either. Well, I'm mad. I'm dealing with this. I can relate. Nobody is saying that it's a fun thing to go through a challenge. See, people go over, and there's a whole lot of people that believe everything is, that happens on this earth is the will of God. That's not true. In fact, I'm not going to teach on that, but just take the example we just mentioned. That storm that came up when Jesus was in the boat. If everything is the will of God, every storm is His doing, why did Jesus calm it then? Huh? Because He'd be going against the will of our people. A tornado will tear through. Some people go, well, we just don't know why. It's not God. I said it's not God. Jesus calmed the storm. He showed us how to deal with it. But people think everything, some people are just, everything is God's will. So then in the midst of a problem, they're not rejecting it. They're saying, well, it must be God's will. Just because something showed up on your doorstep does not mean it's God's will. But thinking nothing ever is going to come to you again is not true. But we don't have the idea, and anybody that would tell you this, that you would feel just happy that you have a challenge show up. The Bible does not say to thank God for those things. In the midst of the things, thank God. Don't thank Him for the problem. He didn't send the problem. But you ought to thank God in the midst of it. But for, you know, me or anybody else to stand up, you're going, well, you know, it's no big deal. No, things can be a very big deal, and you will and can have emotion. And thoughts can come to you. Why did this happen? Oh, that's one of Satan's favorite questions, because if he gets you off on that thing, he'll just leave you for the next two decades. Not going to talk about that either, you know, but people ask these questions. Well, why did this happen? Why is God letting? You're asking the wrong thing. The things will happen. Question is, what are you going to do about it? Amen. See, that's insinuating that somehow God failed you. What we need to understand is stuff will happen on this earth because we live in a fallen world. And yes, if something is going on, you will have emotion come to you if you're human. But if you let that emotion dominate you, if you get mad and frustrated, especially with God in a situation, it will do you no good. In fact, you will go backwards because God is your help. God is our help. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. He is our helper. If in the middle of the storm, you start getting mad at God for the storm when He didn't bring the storm, you just got mad at your help. And you are not doing the word right there. That storm is coming against you. You do not want to bail out and start turning your back on your help. Because, see, this is one of Satan's favorite tactics. God brought the storm. Not going to go into, you know, we don't have time to teach on all that today. But no, we just give you that one example with Jesus. No, God is not in control of everything. We live in a fallen world. There is stuff that's going to happen. We need to know how to deal with it and deal with it as the Word says, the Bible says here, that if you'll do what the Word says, you will stand in the midst of the storm. Let me ask you another question. Just not teaching on this, but just it's just so in our face here. There's two examples. One, the house fell. One, the house stood. What was the difference? What the person did, right? They heard the word and they did something. If everything's God's will, why is it up to the person? Huh? Same storm came, but the person did something different. If it's just God's will, you'd be steamrolled either way, right? Right? No. It's what we do. That's not true. It's not true that God just controls everything. God has given us, you can see right here, He's given us a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to act on the Word? And getting mad at God and go, God, I don't understand this. This is not fair. You can go off in the weeds on that thing. What we need to focus on is what has God said concerning our situation, because Jesus is saying right here, if we'll do and agree with what He said, we'll come through it.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look over at the, let's just for the sake of time, just look on your sheet there. Matthew, now let's turn over there. Matthew 7. Let's just, this is another account of the same parable or saying from Jesus. Matthew 7. Now, I like this. This one, you can see this so clearly. Matthew 7:24. Everybody there? It's on your sheet. We're going to look at it on your sheet in a minute. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now look on your sheet. It's very clear here when you see them next to each other. Look at what happened to the first person and look at what happened to the second person. It says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them. Look down at verse 26. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and what? Does not do them. Okay? There's only one part of that that's really different. Does them, does not do them. Now, second part of verse 24. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Look at the next part of verse 26. That person will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So now, he said, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, he's a wise man, he built on the rock. Person that hears the sayings of mine, does not do them, is like a foolish man who built on the sand. He's just changing certain things, but it's the same scenario, just different decision. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. Now read verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. What's the difference there?
Sand.
Huh? Verse 25, verse 27. They're the same. Anybody see something different so far? Huh? The same situation, right? Now, the rest of verse 25. So let's just read verse 25. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And what? Did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now read verse 27. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And what? It fell. And great was its fall. What's the difference?
Sand.
the person did the word. And that's likened to what? A wise man that built on the rock. It was a well-built house because the person did the word. What was the difference in circumstance? There was no difference in circumstance. Well, this is just God's will for my life. What does it say here? Does it look the same thing came? Well, God's doing this to me. Okay, that's a misunderstanding. But this is a storm. The storm came to both people. The same thing happened to both people. One fell, one stood. Well, it's just God's will. His ways are mysterious, higher, and we just don't understand. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what Jesus said? He has the reason right here. One fell, one stood. Well, we just don't understand. Really? Jesus didn't give us the answer. Well, I just don't know why God allowed this to happen. I answer that right here. It's we live in a fallen world. Jesus is not in God is not controlling everything. He told us what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the answer. One person falling, one person standing, just the will of God. No, it's not. What the outcome does not determine what God's will is. How do you determine God's will? You look at the Bible. God must have some purpose in this happening. Huh? Really? The storm hit both of them. God wasn't doing it. The storm came to Jesus, and Jesus did what? Well, what if Jesus said, well, Father, I guess you meant for us to sink here. I thought I was going to save the world, but you had another thing in mind. Obviously, the storm is here. Guys, I'm sorry, I misled you. Here we go. Going to meet my daddy. Is that what Jesus said? But the storm's there. I mean, clearly, God sent the storm. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
What did he do with the storm? He shut it down. Tell me again, what's the difference here in these accounts? The storm's there. God, I just don't understand. God, what do you do? I thought this wasn't supposed to happen. Is that what it told us to do? It said to do the word. If you know what the Bible says about a situation and you have a scenario come in that is, you know, does would not be the will of God, what we need to do is stand up, resist it, and believe God that what he said would come to pass in the middle of the storm. Don't think it weird when there's a storm in your life. Doesn't mean God's trying to take you out. Doesn't mean he's forsaken you. It just means you live on planet Earth. Sorry. You can go talk to Adam and Eve when you get up to heaven about that. But whether it was them or the next generation, I'm pretty sure somebody would have. Huh? That's why Jesus came. Huh? That's why Jesus came. He bore the brunt of sin. He put authority back in the hands of those that would look to him.
Amen.
And he gave us an example of what to do. He's telling us right here, you do what I tell you to do, you come through. You come over.
Amen.
You come over. Do you think his word is right? Do you think his word is good? Huh?
Amen.
God is true. Let's look at a couple more verses here. How we doing? Psalm 48, or 46, let's just look at it on your sheet. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present, what?
Help.
Help. In what?
Trouble.
thought we weren't supposed to have any trouble. That's not Bible. Now, God didn't send it. He doesn't want you to go down. But God is our help in the midst of it.
Amen.
He's a very present help. He's our refuge. You know, our refuge. You go to Him in time of the storm. You go to Him and go, God, I need strength. I need your help. You are my God. You've seen this and you will bring me through it. You have the answer. He's a very present help in time of trouble.
Amen.
Psalm 91 says, I will deliver him in trouble. I have to look at it exact, quote it exactly, but that's the essence, in the midst of it. But just look at it real quick. It won't take us just a bit of a minute. Look at Psalm 91. See, people say, well, Psalm 91, they quote Psalm 91 and like nothing's supposed to happen. Well, you have to know when stuff happens what the Word says. Yeah, we can't teach on Psalm 91 right now. We'll be here till evening. But look at, boy, we could just, there's just so much here. But anyway, the part that I'm talking about, verse 14. Because he has set his love on me. This is God talking. Therefore, I what? I will. You guys with me? Psalm 91, verse 14. Everybody there? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will what? Deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I what? I will answer him. I will be with him. Where?
In trouble.
In trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right there. People say, well, it was just his time to go. That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
He says, with long life, I will satisfy him.
Amen.
Somebody gets cut out at 20. Well, God had some purpose. No, that contradicts the Bible.
That's right.
Here's one verse right here. You go back over to your sheet. Like I said, we could start preaching on Psalm 91. You guys be mad at me. And still be here at 4 o'clock. God is our refuge. Verse Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we what? We will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea. That's serious stuff. This isn't like, you know, little thing. The earth removed, the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He said, God is with me. God is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my help. Remember, we're talking about doing the Word. This is doing the Word. Anybody can go run for cover. Oh no, this is happening in my life. And start talking about how bad it is. That's not the time to panic. It's not, you will have emotion. Emotion is not God. We don't yield to emotion over the Word. I didn't say you wouldn't have any emotion. I didn't say fear wouldn't be knocking on your door. See, you can have symptoms of fear just like you can have symptoms of sickness. That doesn't mean you accept it. You could have fear such that the hairs on the back of your head are standing straight up, and you know what you do? You say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I will not fear. Isn't that what it just said? Therefore, we will not fear. Will not fear. Well, I can't help it. That's not what the Bible said. We will not. That means you choose. You say, I'm not going to fear. But I feel like it. My knees are knocking together. Anybody would be afraid. Anybody would have symptoms and feelings of fear. That's not the same as yielding to it. Did you hear me?
Amen.
We will not fear, though the earth be removed and so forth. Psalm 62. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
Amen.
Yeah, but the storm's beating on. The guy next door, his house is gone. But I will not be moved because I know God. He's my help. I will do what He tells me to do. I will exalt Him in the midst of the trial. I'll exalt Him in the midst of the storm. And I'll say, God, your word will be true. I won't start saying, oh, why? Why? I just don't know. That will do you no good. God is a very present help in times of trouble. Now look at Philippians 4. This is a familiar scripture, but I want to just touch on it in relation to the other things we've said. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These things that we're talking about. You doing the word in the midst of a storm. The Bible says that you lean on His strength, not yours. By His grace, you do what He told you to do. By His strength, in the midst, your emotions may be telling you, I don't know how, I don't know why. You may be having thoughts come at you like a machine gun. Anybody experienced that before? They're just like this. You're going to die. You're going to hurt. Your family is coming apart. Emotions will be there. You can feel like I can't do it. The word God, it, I know what your word says, but it's too hard. I can't. That is a lie. And we need to stand on this and say, God, I don't feel like it. I don't see it. I don't understand everything, but your word says I will come through. Your word says I will be victorious. And I choose to exalt you. I choose to say you're my very present help in time of this trouble. I will not fear. I will not be moved. I will glorify you. And you stay there.
Amen.
How? Because you're just so strong in yourself? No, because you choose. You choose to look at Him. You choose to say His word is true. You choose to be a doer of the word in the middle of the storm. That's when it counts. It's when the stuff's on. It's when you're feeling it. Your body is hurting. Your family looks like it's not going to make it. That's not the time to start saying, I guess it didn't work. That's exactly the time to say, the word works. His word is tested, it's tried, it's true. It will not ever return void. I will believe you, God, right now, and with your strength, I'll do it.
Amen.
That's how you come through the storm. That's how you're not moved. Didn't say you felt like it, didn't say it looked like it, just said the word works, and He's faithful. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet, everybody?